Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Our goal is to epiphanize Jesus by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today's gospel describes a moment in the life of the Holy Family that is similar to a moment most parents have to experience with their children. It is that turning point at which parents begin to realize that their child is becoming independent, that for better or for worse, the child is starting to be able to make decisions for himself, or at least to believe that he can. St. Luke tells us that during a trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem for Passover, St. Mary and St. Joseph get separated from the 12-year-old Jesus. After 3 days of nervous searching, they find him in the temple where he is debating theology with the rabbis. Jesus acts as if their anguish is no big deal, telling them, "Don't you know that I had to be about my father's business in my father's house?" Whatever might have happened before, and we have no idea what happened before, at this point, Joseph and Mary can have no doubt that Jesus knows exactly who he really is. Even more to the point, he knows who his real father is and who has the final authority in his life. St. Luke says they didn't understand what he told them, but he cannot mean that they didn't know what his words meant. What they could not understand was what all this was going to mean for their future together. Would Jesus say, "I am going to stay here to study the Bible with some real intellectuals"? Or might he say, "You two can't even keep track of me while we're on a trip. You're not competent to be in charge of the Son of God. You've already outlived your usefulness." Or would he just utter the adolescent's annoying cry, "I know what's best for me. I'm going to be my own person and make my own decisions now"? Instead, St. Luke reports, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. It is clear that Jesus did not see any conflict between being about his heavenly Father's business on the one hand and sticking with his earthly parents and obeying them on the other. What united the Holy Family, and what can unite any other family which really wants this sort of union, is if every member of the family agrees that the most important thing in life is finding out the will of God as it is revealed in the Bible and in the teachings of the church, and then trying to do it. Once you come anywhere near the Christian orbit, you can no longer avoid the issue of God and obeying God. You people who are thinking about getting married, don't pretend the will of God doesn't matter. You married people who are thinking about having children, don't pretend the will of God doesn't matter. You married people who are thinking about splitting up, don't pretend the will of God doesn't matter. You parents who are concerned about the nurture and education of your children, don't pretend the will of God doesn't matter. Epiphany talks about how Christ showed himself to the world to help us figure out how we can show him to the world. Today's epistle goes along with the gospel in suggesting that the most obvious way we manifest Christ to the world is by leading lives that are committed to doing what he wants done. There's a moment fairly late in the consecration prayer when I, Bishop Calhoun, say, And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. I say those words for all of us in response to St. Paul's command in today's epistle. He tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, what we are obliged to do. In effect, after we have represented Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary under the forms of bread and wine, we climb up into the altar and sacrifice ourselves. We offer our whole being to God just as Jesus did. We are asking God to use us to do his will just as he used Jesus to do his will. The first step in that direction is to get a proper view of things. That means to start looking at everything from God's perspective. That is a life-changing experience. Here's what St. Paul means when he writes, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." To be pure in heart is to be focused upon one thing, which is finding out what God's will in your life is, and then doing it. You can't do that apart from the Bible. You can't do that apart from the sacraments. You can't do that without asking for guidance and help in prayer. Our goal is to epiphanize Jesus, to show Jesus to other people, so he can save them as he saved us. It's all about doing God's will, becoming, through God's gracious help, what Jesus has by his nature, subject in all things to the divine authority, always about our Father's business. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.